This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5, please. I've noticed in your bulletin, the front page and the cover, there's John 8 on there and talks about the light of life. And this morning, I'd like to speak to you on the salt and the light that we are supposed to be in this world. In Matthew chapter 5, we find here the Lord told the disciples that they are the salt, or they were the salt and light of the world, and so are we. And he doesn't say you should be or eventually will be, but he said you are. And so I trust that this passage of Scripture will be a blessing to you. By the way, speaking about missions, I encourage you also to pray for more missionaries. We've seen many missionaries come and go over the years to Bolivia, and I know it's in other places like that as well. And there are many reasons for that, but we need more missionaries. And I was speaking to our director, who's in charge of South America, of all the missionaries with Baptist International Missions Incorporated, and he said this year we don't have anybody that's, we have one family that's considering, but he said we'd really like to see more missionaries go, so we ask you to pray for that. But Matthew chapter 5, and verse 13 through 16, we'll read that, says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so we have a responsibility here. He said, you are the salt of the world and light of the world. That is a great responsibility. This world is very, very big. And that's why we have missionaries, so that we can have part of this in other parts of the world. Salt has always been considered to be a very important part. As I was studying and preparing for this, I was reading up on that in the olden days, or I don't know if the olden days, but in the Roman days, I would say, the Roman soldier was paid with a portion of his salary was salt. And that's where we get our word salary from. And if you read in the Bible, we find that in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that the earth was dark and God made light to dispel the darkness of this world. In Leviticus chapter 2, every meat offering had to be salted. And so salt has always been a part of that. We find that in 2 Chronicles, God gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever with a covenant of salt. And so many agreements were made with salt. Bolivia, and the reason why this kind of came to my attention, we have the biggest salt flat in the world. It's over 10,000 square kilometers. And we have over half of the world's lithium ion. So if you have a cell phone on you, I believe that most batteries, or all of them, are now made of lithium ion. Bolivia has not been able to, in my estimation, to take advantage of that as much as they should. But we have over half the world's lithium ion. And so salt is very important. Of course, the most important to us is food, right? Without salt, it's kind of difficult sometimes to eat a meal. And I know when you go to a hospital, I'm sorry, Pastor, but they probably will not give you much that have to do with salt, you know, depending on your illness, I suppose. But it gives flavor. And so there's many things. But here in this passage of Scripture, he talks about salt and he talks about light. And so this morning, the question to us is, how well are we doing with the flavor that we give in this world? And how bright is our light? And I hope that I can be a blessing to you and encourage you and challenge you in a few things of this. This morning. First of all, salt is normally considered to be one of the aspects of an antiseptic. What does that do? It prohibits contamination. And so, the same way, we as Christians ought to be careful not to allow this world to contaminate us. It is very difficult to reach somebody with the gospel when our testimony is not what it should be. If we allow the things of this world to come into our lives, then when we go and preach the gospel, people will look at us and they say, interesting. You want us to believe that, but look how you live. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." So the Bible tells us he left us an example. Now we know, and if we read the rest of the portion of Scripture there, the Bible talks about there is no sin in him. The Bible talks about that there was no guile found in his mouth. Even when he was accused of different things, when he suffered, he did not fight back and so on. And so it talks about the life of Christ. And that is the example that we have for us. And so I encourage you, don't let this world to contaminate who you are. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now this world needs, you know, we're missionaries in Bolivia. They need to see the difference. When I was still the director of seminary, I dealt with all the little issues, if you will, with the students sometimes. And I had a student one time come to me and he said, "Well, I'm going to get married, but I want my family to know that I'm no different than they are." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, they're not saved and I am." And he said, "I would like them to know that I'm just the same as I." I said, "Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you are a new creature." And I said, "How are you going to win them if you're just like them? They'll never know that they need a Savior." And so we had some things to deal with at that time. But, you know, we are. We cannot always prevent others from being corrupted or not allow the world to entice them with the things of the world. But we ought to be careful or make sure we don't. Many times unbelievers, when they see a believer, they act differently. And so sometimes when you're with somebody who doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, and your testimony is strong and you're faithful to the Lord, that alone gives them an idea. What is it like to be a Christian? You know, as a missionary, and I know we don't have that much of a problem, but I know in other places, people, the missionaries feel like they're in a little fish tank. And everybody's looking at them. And we are always obviously white, as you can see, and most Bolivians are not. But we are in a very diverse city, and so we don't have much problems with that. But I imagine up in some of the other places there would be. But even at the same time, we always know our neighbors are always. And by the way, the other day I was at home with my parents, and my mom was out, and I said, "I'm going to go and sit in the front porch, right where the street. I'm going to do the Bolivian thing. I'm going to just watch everybody go by." They're very much like that. Our neighbors in front of us, they know exactly when we leave, when we come back. They know all of the things. I told them, we're here, we have nobody living in our house. I said, "If somebody robs us while we're gone, it's you guys." Because you look after our house the whole time, 24 hours a day almost. So, you know, we feel like that. But can you imagine a missionary who doesn't have a good testimony? That'd be horrible. We go there to preach the gospel. And so we have to make sure that our testimony is what it ought to be. It is so much easier to go and preach somebody than when they know what your life is like. And so he says that you're the salt of the world. Now one time, we were traveling back to Bolivia, and we crossed the border, and we had hired a shuttle bus, and we were in the back seat of the shuttle bus. And so it was very cold that day, and we were crossing from the Windsor into Detroit. And the driver of the bus said, "Now, the guard will come out, and he will ask you all to show your passport and where are you going." And so, sure enough, it was very cold, and the guard came out, and he asked, you know, the first person, "Your passport, please, and where are you going?" And so they went down the line. So then he got to the seat in front of us. There were two ladies sitting there, and he said, "Man, where are you going?" to one of them, and then the other, and so on. And one of them said, "Well, it is so cold, I'm out of here. I'm going to the Bahamas to get drunk." Okay, so he comes and he asks me, "Well," I say, "Well, we're missionaries to Bolivia, and here's our passports, and we're just traveling back today." And he backed up and he looked at the lady that told him that, and he said, "And ma'am, you're looking at a Baptist pastor." So she didn't know which way to turn, you know. But, you know, sometimes our life makes a big difference. And so if we are true to who we are supposed to be, it's a great advantage to preach in the gospel. And Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that God has saved us from such a world. And so we are a new creature. And so how is your life when it comes to the salt that you are to be? And second place, salt also gives us thirst. Now, studying this, I was reading some things about in the past and so far, in some of the places where humidity is really high and dehydration is a real problem, they will usually give the people that work for the factory, whatever, a little bit extra salt in their food, so they will have a thirst for water, and they will drink more so they won't get dehydrated. And I was asking myself, how much does my life present an example, a picture of what Christ is like so that others will have a thirst for Christ? Christ said he is what? The living water. Living water. In the same way as Saul gives thirst, we ought to give of thirst. We ought to live in such a way that others want to know, why do you live like that? What is the difference? The Christian testimony ought to work together. Our last Sunday in Bolivia, as I mentioned, I had the privilege of leading a man to Christ. And as I was speaking with him, him and his family, by the way, had come about 3-4 months already. Faithfully, by the way. His wife is saved, but he was not. And so one day I was talking to him before, and he said, I like this church. I like the way the people are. And I said, well, great. I'm glad you like this place. You need to get saved. But, you know, isn't it wonderful when you have a testimony like that? I remind of Acts chapter 2. The Bible says that the church had favor with all the people. And so, but as he came in that Sunday, talking to him about his salvation, he said, I want to get saved. I want to have what everybody else has. That's what our life ought to be. It got to show who we are. We preach the message of Christ, the gospel. The only thing that can save a person from a lost time or eternity in hell. In John chapter 4, Christ said that he is the living water. And that is what we are there to preach. Our evangelism ought to meet or match our life, or our life ought to match our evangelism. They ought to go together. The church in Acts had that testimony, a godly testimony for the Lord. Then in the third place, as far as Saul is concerned, it gives us flavor. Now this is perhaps our favorite part, right? We all like to go and eat where the restaurant, the food is good, gives us flavor. We were home just a couple of days, and my brother and his family took us for dinner with my parents as well together. And the food was all right. But I think we kind of all decided that we're not going back there. And unfortunately for the place, it burned down a couple of days ago. So it won't be the same, I'm sure, if they reopen. But, you know, it had nothing to do with their food. They're not tasting good, all right? But I have to say that. But when you go to the hospital, they give you what we call in Bolivia, sopa blanca, which means white soup. Now, I know it's not white, but it just means it has no salt in it. And so it gives no flavor. And oftentimes, I had one of the pastors, his wife was in the hospital here a few months ago with an operation, and he ate her food, and he said, oh, this is really good. She said, oh, yeah, right. You can go next door in 5 minutes, eat something else, you know. He was trying to encourage her. Well, it didn't work very well. She didn't accept that. But, you know, we ought to give off flavor. One of the biggest independent Baptist churches in Santa Cruz, where we live, is right in the center of a big neighborhood. In Bolivia, normally, we build a church in the neighborhood. It used to be people would not drive to church. The only people who come to church were the ones that live close by, and they would walk. Now, that's changing now. We have a lot of new cars and a lot more people driving. And so some people are driving to church. And as I was sharing with the pastor before the service, there's new laws in the city. And so most of the time from now on, they'll be building or we'll be buying properties on double lane highway so we can actually build a decent sized building for churches. But up to now, that was never a problem. But that church isn't a big church. It's right in the middle of a big neighborhood. And I've often said that ought to be the nicest place to live in all of Santa Cruz. Because many of the residents in that neighborhood are saved and are members of this independent Baptist church. And so their life ought to give us this flavor. They ought to have less problems with crime and so on. Why? Because they're Christians. They're saved. We as missionaries have to be careful also to make sure we give off the flavor that we should. You know, the first family that I had the privilege to lead to the Lord when we arrived in Bolivia in 94, and as I was speaking with them about their need of salvation, they say, well, if it is what you say it is, why is it that our neighbor, who says she's a Christian, but has such a horrible life? And yes, she had a very difficult time, but also very, very bad testimony. And so they were, you know, why is it? And I said, you know what? I don't know her. I don't know about her. I accept what you say, but we're not here to deal with her tonight. I'm dealing with your life. And they accept the Lord as their Savior. And so our life, our testimony is very important. What flavor does your life give? What testimony do we give? There's no worse example than somebody who's saved but has always complained to neighbors who are unsaved about the difficulties they go through. I've known over the years in Bolivia some of our folks we work with. I remember one time we had two families in church, and they had the exact almost identical makeup. They had the same amount of kids. They had the same jobs. They were paid the same amount of money. But you know, every Sunday, everyone, please pray for us. We can't make it. And the other one was just praising the Lord how good life was. And I always ask myself, you know, it's all in the perspective of life, isn't it? But our testimony ought to be such. We ought to give off a flavor that others would like to know what Christ is. But not only that, the light of the world. In verse 14, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, as we travel, we've seen many places. And oftentimes, you see places up on a hill, they cannot be hid. You will go places that are in the valley, and you won't see them until you get very close. But here in this passage, he says, you are the light of the world. Now, if we look at chapter 4, we find that in verse 13 through 16 as well. He says, the Bible says, and leaving Nazareth, he came to dwell in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people were set in darkness, saw great light. And to them were set in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Capernaum was in darkness. And Christ comes here, and this is when he first started his ministry. When he goes there, and what did he bring? Light. He brought light. In this passage of Scripture in chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. Now we know that Christ said he is the light of the world, but we show his light through us when we live the life that we ought to. And so how bright is your light? Light, in the first place, dispels darkness. We find that in Genesis, God made light to dispel the darkness because it was dark. The universe in darkness would be unthinkable, wouldn't it? It would be impossible to live in darkness all the time. Jesus said in John chapter 8, the verse that you have in front of your bulletin, that he is the light of the world. He is light of the world. In the Bible, light equals true knowledge of God. And so the psalmist also mentioned that in Psalms 36, verse 9, he said, for with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light shall we see light. Have you been in such a dark place that you couldn't see anything? Our first year in Bolivia, we were asked to go to a small community, 6 hours from Santa Cruz, to pastor a small church who had lost their pastor, and they were going through a transition to find a new pastor. And out there, there was no electricity, there was no light, there were no bulbs, no nothing. You go there, and the daytime was bright, and the nighttime was dark. Now, when the moon was full moon, we were able to play soccer till 12, 1 in the morning. It didn't matter. We could clearly see the soccer ball. And we sometimes did that. But when there was no moon, you couldn't see the hand in front of you. I remember one night we came home from visiting some folks in another village 15 minutes down the road. And I turned off the lights and I went, you know, finding my way to the door. And as I got to the door, I realized I had locked the door with a lock, one of those combination locks. There was no way I was ever going to find that combination. I couldn't see nothing. I had to make my way back to the car and put on the lights and so we could get in. Darkness is very difficult to deal with sometimes. And so we need light. And he says, you are the light. We are the light. And so shine your light in the whole world. And that's why missions is so important. The path of the righteous is surrounded by light. God guides us with light. The psalmist also said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The light of the world. So we ought to shine our light. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Do you know the Savior as your Savior this morning? Has he shone in your light? Do you have the light? If not, why not? He loves you and he died on the cross for your sin. To give light of knowledge. Ephesians chapter 5 says, for we were sometimes darkness, but now you're light. Light. So how bright is your light? Do you let it shine? Does everybody know? Do your neighbors know that you know the Lord as your Savior? Do you shine your light? Not only that, we are not to hide our light. He says here, the city, you cannot hide. You know, sometimes when you travel, you can always travel in the daytime. I remember we were on a choir tour in Bolivia. It was our second year, I believe, of the seminary. And we were traveling to Cochabamba. We live in Santa Cruz. Cochabamba is between La Paz and Santa Cruz. So And we're traveling in a route that's kind of out of the way because we went and presented the choir to three other churches in the countryside. And the vehicle that I had bought, well, unfortunately, it had some problems. but we were making our way to Cochabamba. And we had scheduled to be there before it was dark. It was a road that we had never traveled on before. We didn't know anybody. All the people up there speak Quechua. None of us do. And so we were traveling, and as we got closer, and the car had problems, and, you know, it got dark. And I kept looking for the light. You know, Cochabamba's a big city. There got to be light. And there was nothing. And we stopped in a little town, and no lights, of course. And we'd ask the best we could in Quechua. There was a couple guys in our, with the van that knew a little bit, but they always said, go, go. We just kept going. And all of a sudden, you see a little bit of shine come up, you know. And next thing you know, way down there is Cochabamba. Boy, was I glad to see that light. Because now I know I'm close. If the band quits, you know, we can walk or we can do whatever. But, you know, we ought to shine our light. You cannot hide light. A true Christian doesn't hide his light. God's Word tells us that we are to shine our light. Nothing should make it possible to hide our light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Our light will dispel darkness. And so we are the light of the world. And you don't, you know, the same thing with the candle. In verse 15, it talks about a candle. So we have the light, the city. You cannot hide a light. You don't hide a candle. Our first year, just the same as I spoke to, told you about the little village that we were in, my wife and I, you know, we were married 2 years, close to 2 years. And so every night, we had a romantic candlelight dinner. Of course, we had no option, right? I mean, that's the only place, the only thing we had was candles. It was very romantic, very wonderful, many years ago. Now, you don't hide, you don't go and light a candle, and then you hide it. You don't put a bushel on it. Now, religion will do that. I don't know how much you know about Mennonites. We have many Mennonites in the southern part of Ontario here. I grew up as a Mennonite. Praise the Lord, got saved, and now I'm a Baptist. I'm still German background, but I'm not a Mennonite anymore. We have 60-some thousand Mennonites in Bolivia. And, of course, they have all these different levels of Mennonites. And what they will do, they're not allowed to have electricity, some of them. So they will come up with a light source, either a generator or whatever, and they'll put it in the shop or whatever they're doing. And so when somebody goes and knocks on their door, the first thing they do, gloop, 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 they hide the light. Put bushels or buckets, whatever they can, to hide the light. Because if one of their elders comes by, they're in trouble. Now, if I go by there, they say, oh, it's you. All right. Undo the light. Or see the light. You cannot hide light. If you try, religion will try to do that. But a true Christian does not hide his light. So how bright is your light? It would be inconsequential to light a candle and then hide it. Now, not only in a city, now he brings it down. He says in verse 15, he says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And what does it say? It gives light unto all that are in the house. Not only are we to shine our light in the world, but we are to shine our light in our own house, in our own family. And you know, sometimes that's the most difficult part because everybody knows you. You know, they'll say, oh, I know little Jakey. I remember who he used to be. Yeah, okay, I used to be that way. I'm not anymore. I'm saved, all right? But sometimes family is the most difficult place to be a true witness. And he says here, you are the light of the world. You also light so that everybody can see in your house. I have often said to the folks in Bolivia, baptism is a great time to show your light. Invite your family. Invite the ones that are unsaved, that don't know the Lord. Invite them to your baptism. Because they'll see that you are a new creature. That you have made a decision. And that you publicly say, hey, I am a Christian. I'm born again. I love the Lord. Witnessing to family is something very difficult. But our light, just the same, ought to shine. Now we have an example of that. Paul reminded Timothy of his mother and his grandmother. Of their faith and their life. And so shine your light. But what's the purpose to conclude this? Verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Obviously, the main purpose of all of this is what? Glorify God. Glorify God. Now, he said, let the men may see your good works. the church in Acts, they obviously saw, the people saw the good works of Acts, and they have favor with everybody. Now, not everybody loves a missionary. We have sometimes found that out, strange enough, you know. But you know what? When we shine our light, people can say or see who we are. And so he says here that they may see your good works. Now, we don't do good works to get saved. We do them because we are saved and we love our Lord. I have a very difficult time sometimes understanding why people don't want to serve the Lord. And I'm not talking about necessarily full-time service. If God doesn't call you, that's not your place to be a missionary or a pastor. But to serve Him on a daily basis, I cannot imagine any greater joy or privilege than that. And so he said, they may see. Why, how are they going to see if we're faithful to the Lord? Good works are meant to bring glory to God. David, when he went against Goliath, you'll remember, I think it's 1 Samuel, chapter 17, or maybe 2 Samuel. He said, the whole world will know that David is here. He didn't say that. They will know the God of Israel. That's who we worship. That's who we serve. That's who we go witness the life that we, or the gospel comes from Him, and that's what we tell the people. So why are we missionaries? To glorify God, obviously. But what we do as missionaries, we shine the light. We're not perfect. We have our struggles and our difficulties, as everybody, or as anybody would. But we are to be faithful. So this morning, how flavorful is your life? How's your salt? And how light, bright is your light? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Do you have the source of light so you can be a light? And if not, why not? In a moment, I'll let the pastor come and give the invitation. But can I challenge you? Live a life that gives off what you ought to be, the example, the light, the salt, that brings to people what they need to see a true Christian is like. So that when somebody goes and takes the Bible and shows them how to be saved, they say, yes, I know somebody who lives that. And I'd like to have what they have. Be faithful. Let God use you.